Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to another episode of Capes and Commentaries, your podcast, essential podcast for Saturday morning cartoons, where we rewatch, relive, and kind of sometimes watch things anew. I am your co-host, Nathan Kennedy, alongside the Virgil to my $1 million man, Tyler Baker. Tyler, how's it going?
And the beefcake to my Hogan. I am Tyler Baker. I'm doing quite well here today. It makes sense. I got Hogan stuff on display. You got beefcake stuff on display, so you can't argue that one.
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, on today's episode, we are going to visit Bionic 6, a show that, once again, this is an anomaly because most of the stuff that we talk about on this podcast has been released on DVD or at least has good quality episodes on YouTube. Where's the love for this show? What happened? There's like hardly anything on Bionic 6.
Yeah, all you can seem to really find is ever so often like some bootleg sets, you know, available on the internet. Some vary in quality, some vary in price. Some are asking like $80, $75. Some guys are asking $35 for a complete set. So it's clearly definitely, it's something that if it's brought up, people seem to, their eyes pop. I remember that show. So it's like a lot of classic 80s shows. It's unfortunate just there's people who have the rights to it or just someone who has the power to kind of bring some of these old properties back to the forefront just chooses not to because their head's up their ass.
Well, you also got to think, too, when this show came out, imagine just fighting for that real estate, not only on television, but in the toy aisle. Because when this came out, we're dealing with Masters, Thundercats, like everything's in its peak. So this is just like blink and you miss it, really.
Honestly. Pretty much was a lot of toy lines. I mean, I mean, we think of Visionaries, Supernaturals, Battle Beasts, Mask, Black Stars, Sectars. The line that Nathan was a big fan, Air Raiders. Wasn't that?
You know, I always keep forgetting the name of it, but to me, that was always just really badass because it's basically just attaching strings everywhere and ziplining guys. It was super cool. I only had a couple of them, but to me it was really awesome just setting up in the doorway in the living room and attaching it to like the table or the couch or something and just sending it down, and my little mind was just amazed that I was able to construct something like that.
Another prime example of one of the many competitions, because I mean the commercials are available online. I believe there was a cartoon of it, but like many of them, like Dino Riders, that make only maybe 10 episodes, a few episodes, just never gets picked up or whatever. But Bionic 6 was given like a full length season. Came out in 7, and I think it ran on TV and syndication for about 3 years. Because I was watching, I think, in 87 and 88. Definitely 88. I do know that for sure.
Sky Commanders.
I don't know why they call it Air Raiders.
I don't know why I keep forgetting it, but I'm just like, yeah, zip lines.
Yeah.
that's about it. But Bionic 6, like it had a full-fledged run. It's just I don't remember it at all.
In our era, because like you know, it's you know, you were not that far away to where we're going off different cable stations,
right?
Bionic 6, from what I can remember, always came on real early in the morning. I'm talking like 6:30 in the morning. That's how I remember catching it. That and Silverhawks and Thundercats in the late '80s in our era, it was coming on real before daycare or maybe even you know going or starting kindergarten. But that's how I remember watching Bionic 6. It was real early in the mornings on weekdays. And I love the animation. I thought the heroes were cool. I thought the villains were amazing. And the toys were made out of metal by LGN, who did Thundercats. I know they get like the wonderful career for their attachment to video games.
Oh, they're terrible.
But they made some good action figures, and the Bionic 6 could be argued to be the best they did, even next to Thundercats. I won't say it, but it could be argued because they are beautifully sculpted. They're the same size as G.I. Joe's. They're articulated like G.I. Joe's, and they're sturdy as hell. Like
they would have to be if they're made out of metal, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got two of them on the shelf over here, and they are hard to find. You can find some on eBay, but it's hard to find individual characters. It's some to find like complete sets, ones that aren't broken, ones that aren't missing pieces, and people are still charging out the ass for them.
You did have an opportunity, but you didn't ask for the price on it because I guess you were too afraid. But we did come across a Men on Card,
Madame O.
Yeah. Last weekend when we went to a local Comic-Con, which is the reason why there was no podcast on this channel last weekend. But
people don't put price, it's just like,
you know. Yeah. But you still should have asked. Maybe he would have lowballed it a little bit.
Alan was talking like the guy was going to be asking too much for his stuff. Yeah. You know, and I also saw
how funny is that when like he's there with that guy and he's like, yeah, he's probably asking too much for stuff.
Well, no, he said like some of the stuff he's got, he's like, he's asking a bit too much. Like, I know Nathan's kind of felt Alan asked a bit much for his stuff, but Alan's pretty fair. I've dealt with Alan for many years. Alan Hypes, if you're curious, he's a toy seller. He's on Facebook. I think, you know, you could probably buy from him online or something like that too. But, I bought my Fluffy the Robot, who we'll see in this episode, from him years ago. And
I'm honestly surprised you didn't grab that off the shelf and have it on you, on hand, to show off.
Oh, well, I mean, well, hang on a sec. I'll grab it.
And while he's grabbing that, I'll do the Amato thing and acknowledge the chat room. Let's welcome Yanish, Fedmon, and JSP, who are in the chat room checking us out live. Thanks for popping in, guys. And when Tyler comes back, I'll kind of throw out some of the stuff you guys have said here in the chat.
it's a beautiful toy line. There's a playset of the Bionic 6 headquarters. There's vehicles for them. But here's Fluffy the Robot.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Do you know how much he's going for now, currently?
He used to be like the of all the figures, the hardest to find, and it might still be because he's still hard to find, but at this point all of them are hard to find, and he's made out of metal. Like, I'm holding a full die cast metal figure here, and he's got the Bionic 6 logo. And don't let the name fool you, the name Fluffy, he's a male robot voiced by Frank Welker, so he's got a real deep, you know, badass voice.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mob name in a way. They give you like those.
Well, it's initials too. It's Fluffy. It's
yeah, yeah, it's yeah. Abbreviation. Yeah. It's an acronym for something else. How much did you pay for him at the time?
Oh man, I think I paid less than $20 for him.
I may have paid
close to 15 or something.
Yeah, like, but this was also a few years ago, right? We're going back quite a ways.
We were going to the Dublin Flea Market twice a year, without question. And
back when they had good shit.
Yeah, when you weren't going to leave there without something. And here's Glove, my favorite character. He's the Starscream on this show. He's constantly trying to piss off Scarab and undermine him, and he's missing his glove, hence the name Glove. And I got one that, because he's hard to find with the glove. But it's a blaster that he fits on his hand and just fires, you know, various blasts out of it. And he's voiced by Frank Welker and a real prick on the show. That's why I love him so much. God, he's an awesome character. He just looks wonderful. I had Scarab, Dr. Scarab, as a kid. That was the only one I owned as a child, and I got it at Hess. You remember Hess when it was at the mall?
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom picked me up from, I think, daycare for kind of like for a dentist appointment or something, and we went there afterwards, and she got me Dr. Scarab. That was the only Bionic 6 character I ever owned. I play with him quite a bit because he fit in with your G.I. Joes. He was the same size and everything. So he was check him out. I am very curious. You know, Nathan's never watched this show before, so I'm curious. And this is not the beginnings episode. Like, the actual creation of the Bionic 6 and Dr. Scarab and his crew is later on in the series, and it's a two-part called Bionics On. This is kind of like a random episode that just kind of throws you right into the mix, and there's not really an explanation. This is kind of the, you know, it's just almost as if like you're expected to know who they are, and then later on it's given an explanation as to how they got their powers and everything like that.
And I'm sure at some point I probably watched it But I just,
it may not have left an impression on you.
There was just no vivid memory of watching it as a kid.
Yeah. I mean, Larry Houston, our friend Larry, he did work on this show. I think Larry DiTilio had some attachment as well to it. But it's kind of like an amalgam of it's American Japanese animation. There's no anime stuff. It's just, it's like Thundercats. You know, you can definitely see there's anime, touches on there, but it looks like an American cartoon. And for a show that's got an assortment of teenagers, they're actually all written very well. Like, they're not obnoxious. Like, every character of the Bionic Six family, they're all likable characters, from Meg, JD, Eric, Bungie. And I believe Bungie and JD are adopted. I don't know if they've really gone into that.
They would kind of have to be, if you think about it, unless the missus was running around with the milkman.
Multiple milkmen or something like that, you know. But they're all very likable characters, because there's episodes where you see them doing stuff that, you know, they're teenagers, so you kind of see them dealing with that stuff, but you also see them just going out and duking it out with Scarab and his crew. And it's pretty much this group. It's not like over the series, like, you get new members to the crew or new members to Scarab's group. Like, once you, it's a set group for Scarab and the set Bionic Six, and that's just kind of how it is. So if it had done well, I'm sure we would have gotten variants of the Bionic Six, maybe, and probably more guys to Scarab's crew or something like that. But it's kind of hard to picture, like, the line expanding when the show is called Bionic Six, you know. So, right. But yeah, it kind of limits itself for heroes. So that's why I felt like if we got a second wave, we'd probably get some more villains and variants of the Bionic Six, something like that.
Right.
But they have a cool transformation sequence too. When they say Bionic's on, they all, like, take their right fist and slam it against their left wrist, and they all, you know, they amp up and take off. And
the theme song is very catchy.
It's beautiful. It's just beautifully animated too, and it just kind of, it doesn't have that go kick ass feel that Thundercats has, but it's an upbeat, catchy song too, and it lends itself to easy listening. It's something I think.
It looks like it was gradually. I was trying to watch for it, but it did look like it was gradually moving.
All right, apologize for that, people. It's not like we're running like a high dollar.
This is the $3 million is the budget per episode.
Yeah, which is small potatoes in today's market.
Right. I did acknowledge people in the chat who that whale popped in as well. Some stuff I was going to read. There was an Air Raiders toy line.
Okay. I thought it was the one Nathan was talking about.
Yeah, and Fedmon had said, you guys should have recorded a toy hunt of that convention, or at least showed us geeks in action in the wild. Well,
it wasn't a whole lot, too.
Yeah, there wasn't. Honestly, there was not a whole lot there. But when we go to Raleigh Supercon in the summer, I will definitely make a longer video for that. And if Tyler and I make it out to any flea markets or anything, we'll definitely do that, because it would be kind of amusing for me to ask how much something is while Tyler's recording, and they give me a number and I haggle with them, and they
won't. Or Nathan just tells them that, you know, go to hell.
Yeah. Or this thing's busted all the shit and you want $50 for it. No, thank you.
Yeah. Watch Nathan haggle over old video games. Like, that's what I want to see more of. Cause Nathan can share some stories of some guy at the Dublin Flea Market who wanted $50 for an old beat to shit.
Yeah,
Nintendo cartridge.
Yeah, he just keeps dragging these games in. They're covered in dust. The labels are half peeled off. And he's like, yeah, that's fit. But I did get a box Friday the 13th on NES from him for $10. Even though it has some writing on it, it's still kind of cool.
Yeah.
When did this show air? Giannis had said 88, and then the 90s they replayed it.
It came out in 87. And I remember specifically, like, 88, and I think it ran until at least 89, and it may have ran a little bit longer, because, I mean, hell, some places, I mean,
right,
we're playing, you know, like G.I. Joe, like the 80s show was playing along with the Deke series into the early 90s on USA. So I'm sure in some places in the country and various parts of the, because it played in the UK, because I found that James E. Talk is a big fan of the show as well. So it's good to know that there's you know, a multitude of people out there who are aware of it or are familiar with it or really, really like the show. It's one of the things about this thing is to kind of provide awareness for this stuff, you know, not just the shows that, oh, yeah, I remember that show, but this is why it's good. And then shows like this where it's clearly under the radar, but it's, you know, I never hear anybody shit on it. Anyone. I never see anybody. I'm sure there's some idiot on YouTube who, you know, gets off on, like, you know,
getting in the red, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, because they're always out there. It's a virus, which is why, you know, our podcast, you know, has met its, you know, glass ceiling, you know, because you got all these people out there who just, that's what people want to hear. They want to hear people shit on 80s with very, very lame, unoriginal, juvenile humor, hinting at the word saying nuts instead of balls, you know, that kind of stuff, where they think they're being edgy by, you know, or saying stuff
I've
like
never, I have never, honestly, I've never seen any of this stuff that you're talking about, like, ever.
Well, look, in my spare time over the years, I would look
Send me links. I want to see this stuff.
I know, because I don't want you to go and give these assholes more views and stuff like that. But I stopped watching a lot of this stuff because I'm thinking, okay, here's someone who's talking about Bravestar or someone is talking about He-Man. And they're just making fun of it. You know, where I'm like, God, this is not what I wanted to see. I wanted to see people talking about and reflecting, being nostalgic about this stuff. And I'm sure not everybody, I can't be like, you know, narrow-minded.
Well, I'll ask you this then. Is it coming from people around our age group or is it younger
people? Some of them were people, most of them were people around our age group.
Really?
At least I was assuming.
Honestly, that's kind of interesting. I thought it would be the case where it's like younger people. It's like, oh, well, you know what? Dexter's Laboratory and Powderpuff Girls is where it's at. All this stuff sucks or something. I don't know.
I like to think that me and Nathan both, we've watched animation all through the years. Like me and him have never stopped watching stuff. We would watch the newest stuff like on Cartoon Network because I enjoyed Dexter's Laboratory. Didn't care for Powerpuff, whatever the hell they're called. Didn't care for that. But, you know, the old stuff was going back and rewatch it. It's genuinely good. I'm not wild with nostalgia. It's like I'm watching Bionic Six. I'm like, God, this is a really, really good show. And same thing with all the other stuff. And I got a little bit of flack for slamming Retro Blasting, which was they do toy reviews and then they also discuss the cartoons. You know, they shit on the Rambo cartoon, they shit on Thundercats, they shit on Silverhawks wholeheartedly. I'm not just exaggerating. Like,
I will look these up.
Yeah, and I know there's been he took a lot of flack for slamming Thundercats and rightfully so, but he also shit on Silverhawks, but love the toys, and they shit on, you know, Rambo because, you know, it's not like they were funny jokes. It was just kind of like, this is very white bread humor here. Like maybe you guys should be popular on like the CW.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's their opinion. Plus,
it is opinions. If
it's getting them clicks and it's working, then why not? You know,
but it's not.
I get it. I get it.
They have to.
I know you want everything to all these things to have like this great honor. Everyone respects it, but I.
Well, it's more about this thing where like that's the kind of go to. It's well, let's make fun of it, and people will watch us. As opposed to, I'm not trying to tell you that watching Bionic Six is going to change your life like some like, you know, hippie or something like that. It's just a kick-ass cartoon. You know, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff here. Just because some guy decides to sit in front of his computer and make fun of it, well, I'm here to say there's another side to that. There's another side to that coin. It ain't about just making fun of stuff from the 80s, because if you don't buy it on a t-shirt, and that's about as far as it goes, like, I just kind of feel like it's too one-sided when it comes to this stuff. Unless it's Transformers or Star Wars, everything. For even G.I. Joe has been made fun of constantly. Like, I mean, everyone's trying to find, like, you know, gay humor and everything, you know. But when I take this stuff, like, I remember when VH1 did their I Love the 80s and they were making fun of He-Man saying it was gay and stuff. When I first watched it, I'm like, I mean, I chuckled a little bit. But then, you know, you just kind of start to think, I think that's what people are going to constantly look at in He-Man. Like, they're going to remember or just look at it as, which I'm like, how the hell is it you guys say guys in long cloths of broadswords kicking each other's asses is gay? I've never understood that idea. And it's still plagued today, which is why I take this stuff quite seriously. Where some people say, what's the big deal, Tyler? But when you're constantly seeing these properties and toys and cartoons just being made fun of a lot as opposed to being celebrated. Not that they have their flaws here and there, of course, but I just feel like the consensus shouldn't be, oh yeah, that cheese from the 80s, that camp from the 80s, shit don't hold up. You know, I just kind of feel like it needs to be an even balance. If you people want to buy that and think everything is lame and dorky because it's not Adult Swim like or something like that, or late 90s Cartoon Network or whatever it is, or anime or whatever, it's like, I don't like anime, but I don't feel the need to go and slam it or make videos about it. Like, I don't like how it looks. I don't like the lines of exaggeration, stuff like that. I just don't like it, but I get why people like it. So that's my rant. I've done ranting. We're here to celebrate the Bionic 6.
Well, I was, I don't know if I should even ask any thought on that, because that'll put us on a whole other train.
Well, do it real quick. You can't bring it up like that and then just, you know.
I was just going to ask if you watched the Star Wars teaser and your opinions and thoughts. I thought it looked good. I'm glad that J.J. Abrams is back doing it, so there's hope there, but
it's too late. They have, you know, we all knew Lando is coming back, but I just kind of felt like that trailer is clearly, I mean, when you see Leia in it, I mean, I just kind of felt like Disney just felt they could get away with doing anything they wanted with that last film. And I hate it for JJ to have to come back and fix a trilogy. And they've announced too, there's not going to be any more Star Wars films after this film for a while.
Good. Doesn't need
to be. It is good, but
Can we do that with the Marvel movies after Endgame?
God, man.
Can we just take a break? Let it breathe, because it's been too much for so long. Anyway,
but yeah, I watched it, and it has the feel of like the Force Awakens trailer. But I just felt like there's nothing you guys can do that's going to trick me into watching a film that, even though Lando's back flying the Millennium Falcon, I just kind of feel like you guys can't fix this. You guys let whatever that idiot was who directed the last one throw in all these ridiculous, dumbass plot twists that aren't even twists. It's just stupid shit. He just throws in there, and you got Kathleen Kennedy's fingers all over the film and all those other goofs at Disney. It can't be fixed. And to make the third film a bunch of retconning plot points to, oh, this didn't happen. Oh, and to say Rise of Skywalker, you know, it's like they shot their load in the second film, and it was a very poor orgasm. We'll just put it that way. There's just nothing that could be redeemed.
Just dribbled out the tip.
Yeah, it just. That was kind of.
That's what I hated about it. I remember when we were there seeing it in the theater, like it was just an ebb and flow. Like I was getting pulled out, and then they did something to like pull me back in, but then they messed that up and it pulled me out. And you think about the whole thing with the space battle where there's just like the slow moving stuff, and it's like, oh wait, you mean we could have just done this the entire time and ripped through everything? I don't know why they thought that was a good idea.
I mean, I'm glad that Disney can't dodge the fact that people don't like that film. Like, the consensus is that film is shit, and it's destroyed any kind of momentum of making a legit new trilogy for kids today and for new fans and for the old fans to keep going with it. It's unfortunate, but it can't be fixed. There's nothing. I don't care what kind of like fan theories you throw out there, you know, or with expanded universe books and comic, anything like that. It can't be fixed within the three films that we're being given here. I don't care what they try to do to kill off all these great characters for the sake of shock value. Like Hans, I'll give you that one. I was fine with that, because they just kind of had him being a little flubby in that one anyway, even though not the whole time, but...
Well, I mean, that's just Harrison Ford these days.
Yeah, because he was like that in Expendables 3 too. Ugh. But, yeah, I just... And to throw in Palpatine's laugh at the very end of it, like, so we're going to have, like, dark side. I hate calling them Sith Lords because they were just referred to people who used the dark side. And, like, Sith Lords came along, like, after the trilogy was done and, like, in a various
other Yeah, it's when so, Lucas started going through and it's like, oh, well, here's all this, all these other mythologies and, oh, well, we can put this in the vernacular of the prequels and midichlorians and all this other shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Convoluted. Just... too much, just too much. Star Wars.
I know. So it just makes me feel like what we're gonna see the ghost of Palpatine show up, kind of like how the ghosts of dead Jedi show up. Like,
oh man, no. When he got thrown through there and everything like crashed down, he's just been surviving off of something else these last 30 years. He didn't die.
Eating rat droppings on Tatooine or something like that.
Yeah,
or Endor.
Endor, wherever. Wherever they are. One more thing before we finally get into watching this. I do want to say, though, also, check the link down below. We're all going to be watching this on Daily Motion together. We'll see how that turns out. Yanish says this. He says, people love Marvel suddenly. Years of hate against me loving comics turned him into hating fake fans of Marvel. I think that's
what it is right now.
That's kind of the point that I'm at. I know this sort of contradicts everything that we're about on this show, but I do kind of I'm really starting to dislike the fact that nerd culture is cool. Because it's good in one regard because you get more merchandise, more opportunities for action figures, etc. But with that comes this influx of people who are just doing it because it's the cool thing right now. I've always hated that. I've always hated it. I feel like it's pretty much happened with everything I've ever liked. Like, I will like something, and then it becomes popular. People will probably be like, oh, you guys are hipsters then, because that's when we sort of turn against it. It's like, oh, it's not cool anymore because everybody likes it. But I am kind of that way, and I hate it because it's happened plenty of times when Tyler and I have gone to movies, especially like horror films and stuff. The people, like, you can just tell. You can see them, and you can be like, they've probably never watched any of the other anything ever.
Yeah.
And yet they're here. So I guess Hollywood did their job, but.
Yeah, I feel like with comic books, I feel like it, you know, it's considered cool to be into this stuff, but it's not expected for anybody to actually know anything about it. Like, with Star Wars or Star Trek, like it's shows and movies, or with Star Wars, like the movies. I kind of feel like you can be a Star Wars fanatic and talk the original trilogy because that's what it is. It's movies. Whereas with comic books, I think it's a lot more rapid. I think a lot of people would agree with me that to know something about the comic books, you don't have to know characters like Ned Leeds or Lana Lang or something. You don't have to be that specific, but I feel like there should be some relative knowledge on the mythology. You don't have to know everything. No. But this popular with Marvel and DC films right now is just, and of course, you know, they're making money because the general public goes and watches and they laugh at these stuff. You know, they laugh at Aquaman. They laugh at, that's the Avengers. Oh, that Captain America, he's a funny mofo, man. Look at them telling them jokes. You know, it's not like if you were to go ask them, you know, like, what do you think about, Baron Zemo, who, you know, well, he was that lame ass villain that was in Civil War, but that's not really like the Baron Zemo that, you know, that's who we should have gotten, who, you know, yeah. It's that, it just give me a little something because clearly it's just, I was listening to some guys talk about like the Side Avengers Endgame, like, oh god, it's just, it's very I don't know. If this happened when we were younger, but I you know, it would have been so exciting, but I also felt like back then we weren't getting bombarded with superhero movies. I was like, wait, we are really going off another rant here.
Well, okay.
I'm not excited at all for Star Wars at all. I won't be seeing it. I have no interest in that.
Yeah, I'll wait until Redbox for that. Same thing with Endgame. I'll wait until Redbox.
No, I won't see that either. I'm out. I'm done. It's not just something to say out of sound cool. Like, no, I have no interest, no genuine interest of going and devoting a time out of my day and spending it and be pissed off at more lame ass jokes and you know, and all that stuff. I'm not interested.
It's going to be the longest one. So that'll be what? It's got to be three hours. Yeah. Ugh.
3 hours long because we just got to drag out. You know, we got to get more Chris Pratt stuff. We got to make sure Captain Marvel comes in and does her thing. We got to make sure
she just looks stoic.
Yeah.
And very uninspired. Yeah. One more thing. At least we're not getting it as bad as when we were fans in the 80s and early 90s. Some of us even had those parents that gave us a hard time about liking this stuff. Tyler, you can probably relate to this more than anybody.
My parents were always cool with it. They never, because my dad actually liked comic books instead of my pawpaws, so they supported me getting comics. My mom thought it was cool. So I never had to deal with that. They were more down on me watching He-Man all the time.
Well, I was kind of maybe thinking in regards to just like now as opposed to then.
Like
you're kind of getting the reverse aspect of it now. Like your mom and dad are kind of like, oh, why are you still watching this stuff?
Oh, I think by this point they've kind of, you know, they over the last couple of years they've, you know.
But it was a thing for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because I don't think they truly believed I'd still be watching He-Man, Thundercats, and G.I. Joe and Turtles all this time, and in their bubble, they don't see it as popular with adults. You know, they look at me and they think I'm just kind of like an amalgam, like this or something unique, odd, almost like you're still into this stuff, and like they have no idea the scope of people who are really into, you know, what we talk about on here. I mean, because, well, it's just not their focus, and trying to explain to them what a podcast is still difficult to this day, you know? So,
yeah, I'm surprised I've managed to teach my parents how to text.
Yeah. It's strictly a generational thing. And I think if they would actually see, you know, it's not just your son is something that's refused to let go of his childhood.
He's a YouTube star.
Yeah, I put that in big, big quotes. But I mean, my mom has kind of come around to it, and she thinks it's kind of cool to a certain degree. But I really don't talk about it. I just kind of would just choose not to, and just kind of keep it with people who listen and want to reach out and share positive thoughts, or if they want to sit there and say they disagree with my opinion, as long as it's no one knocking us for doing what we're doing as opposed to just disagreeing with stuff. But, you know, I just had an insatiable hunger for this stuff. And look, I'm 35 years old. If they thought it was going to stop back then, I think there's no signs of it.
It's, you know, and that's kind of interesting. We are sort of that group. We're kind of different from not only our parents, but also like the younger generation, and the fact that we like to collect things from our childhood.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing that we sort of just all have in common here, is somewhere in probably all of these guys' houses, everyone else that listens to us, they probably have at least a shelf in their house dedicated to something like toy related from this time period when they were a kid. And you think about it, like our parents, like toy wise, they didn't really have other than like Barbies and like the tall doll G.I. Joes.
Yeah.
There weren't like really toy lines back then. So most of their stuff was just like cowboys and Indians and John Wayne movies and things of that. Like,
tin toys and Lincoln Logs and Tinker toys and, you know, you had the casual male action stuff every so often, like with G.I. Joe and the Mego stuff, but I also felt like the Mego is more of an action figure that came all along in the 70s. And after that, Star Wars, and then you had the full-fledged toy lines after
Star
Wars.
I would say from, like, the Star Wars toy line into, like, early to mid-90s. Like, that's sort of that space that all of us are sort of in. It's like, oh, yeah, I, all you guys can see is Beefcake, and I still got to put the rest of those Ghostbusters up. They're sitting, like, all of this shit is just sitting right here. I'm like a motto. I'm like, I can just pick this up from here and whatever. But I mean, I got a shelf here, got stuff here, got a shelf over there. And obviously, Tyler's got his entire Masters collection. Well, not entire collection, but
it's not everything.
Oh, no, God, no. If you had everything out, oh man. Whew. Like if you had a room the size of that one at your old place, the Red House that was over here, that room was massive. You could just put everything. I think you did at that point have pretty much everything out.
At that point, I had all the books, the mini comics, the comic books, the posters, all in frames, all over the walls. All my figures that were meant on card, they were all up on the wall. The entire room was just covered in He-Man. I mean, wall to wall, everything. And that was before Classic started. So all these figures right directly behind me, like right below me here, I only had maybe three at the time. So, yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, well, Nathan got to see it. And he actually, I think when I started moving into the house, Nathan helped me, I think, the first night I was putting stuff up.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Just unpacking everything. Well, shit, we need to watch Bionic 6.
Yeah,
so, let's do it. Link down below. You guys click on that and feel free to watch along. Tyler, go ahead and give us a countdown when you are ready.
All right, I gotta upload it here because I'm using Daily Motion, which has got the clearest and better version.
Yeah, because the one we did have a YouTube link, excuse me, originally, but the quality on that was quite bad.
All right, so 3, 2, 1, action. It's like a slight. There we go.
Awesome, I'm kind of ahead of you. I'll give it a second.
That's fine. I'm just watching Jack tear up in the chains, which that's one of my favorite parts of the opening credits here.
So let's give some backstory. What is the premise of Bionic 6?
The basic premise is that Professor Sharp, who is the guy that gave these six individuals their powers, his brother is Dr. Scarab. And Scarab's main goal is essentially looking for immortality. And he's a scientist as well. He's an evil scientist. His headquarters is underwater. It looks awesome, which is what you like to see from an 80s villain. So he pretty much, you know, created the Bionic 6 to help stop Dr. Scarab, I believe is pretty much the consensus of the show. In each episode, you know, Scarab sends out his crew or he shows up himself to look for various oddities or powers or sources of power all over the world to try and obtain immortality, which is what he's after in this episode, is a source of immortality.
And typically I tend to watch what we're going to talk about and discuss the night before. I did not watch this. So fresh eyes, I'm going to say immediately, I really like that first person.
It looks shot. Awesome.
Yeah, it looked really cool.
And recording on Daily Motion, this was on the Sci-Fi Channel. On the early years of the Sci-Fi Channel, they played the Bionic 6.
Oh, right on.
And I did catch it one time in 1997 in the summer because we didn't have the Sci-Fi Channel when this was being played, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is a little blurry, but I can see the Sci-Fi
down
logo
the bottom.
Right there.
Yeah. Yep. Here's the kids just kind of hanging out at the house, and there's Fluffy the robot. I remember as a kid, too, like, I just thought Jack was the coolest. He's the father. And I guess just because he's essentially the leader of the group, I was more, I related more to him. But watching as an adult.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, watching as an adult, like, the kids are awesome on this show. Like, Eric, Meg, JD, and Bungie, like, they're just a blast to watch. Like, I love the kids.
I was going to say, like, because you said that you related to the father back then, and I always thought it was strange that these shows always tried to make you relate more to the kids, but you always wanted to be the adult or the lead or the main hero and not just the kid that's off to the side. But it is nice to know that that's not the case with this show.
No. So look at this beautiful transformation sequence here, like just showing you what, like hit the bionics on. Look how awesome those suits are.
Yeah. I'm at the part where they're kind of running and now we get a mansion shot. Okay. Yeah. So I'm kind of right in line with you again. All right.
Yep. And this is Professor Sharp's lab they go to. And this is kind of a staple in each episode for the most part. And they, I mean, like Jack the father, he's kind of got like a, because sometimes the powers are kind of like Meg, who's the blonde on the show, or like her big powers, like speed, Bungie, like he had, you know, he's a martial artist, so therefore he's a lot stronger in martial arts. Eric, who's, and they all have a different name, like Jack the father is Bionic One, Helen is, God, Bionic, damn it. Mother by our bionic mother, I think. Or shit. Well, see, JD is IQ, and Bungie is Karate One. Eric is Sport One.
Meg Mother is One.
Mother One. Damn it.
Yeah, Bionic One, Mother One, Sport God, One, just, Rock One, IQ, and Karate One.
Yes. God, I just drew a blank on her. It pisses me off. And here's Mechanic and Dr. Scarab here. And Mechanic left the biggest impression on me next to Scarab as a kid, because I, as an adult, I had no recollection of Glove, Clunk, or Chopper. Madam O, I did remember very vividly, but Mechanic, because of his deep voice, which is another Frank Welker voice, and it was just, I think that's the first time I mean, it was very distinct to me as a kid. I just remembered him so much because of his big voice and his big brute presence. It's a unique group of villains, and we'll get to see a little bit more of them later on, or actually coming up right now. And Scarab is actually quite a is a very malicious villain, but he's actually quite humorous and not a beat you over the head funny. It's just the voice actor who does his voice does a very good job of delivering some pretty fun little lines that make him a very likable villain, but he's also a prick too. And the van, that's a vehicle in the toy line too. Like they released a pretty good assortment of so I figured if Nathan was going to be one of these guys, he definitely would be Eric, you know, because Nathan was a big baseball fan.
I still am.
So I could see Nathan wearing like the red baseball helmet and using a baseball bat in battle like Eric does too. And they don't act like obnoxious kids. Like they act, all the kids act very intelligent. Their voice very well, and they're all likable. And they, you know, in this episode is going to kind of branch off here in a little bit and focus a little bit more on JD slash IQ. A little bit, he kind of becomes like the hero of this episode. Like I think episode two or three, Bungie is like the kind of star of that episode. There's ones where Eric has a big storyline, become like a baseball player for a big team. Meg having issues about being asked to the dance by certain guys. So there's kind of like certain storylines.
Yeah, no, it's cool to implement. It's like they're not just heroes; they are still teenagers.
Yeah, and they go through issues, and that tends to be a lot of the focus too. Is like the kids going through stuff, and then Jack and Helen are being parents. So that's what they are. And the quad runner right there, I think it's the name of that vehicle. That's part of the toy line too. Yeah, there's Bungie just using a tree as a baseball bat. Yeah, as we're getting ready to see a fun little reveal here in just a moment here, Nathan.
Yeah. Indiana Jones.
Yep. Definitely has like a Raiders of the Lost Ark nod there. Here we are. Check this shit out. Yeah!
That almost looks like sort of just like brass nucks that have lasers.
Yeah, I mean, he wears it. It just fits right all over the like the top of his hand. But I just love Frank Welker's devilish portrayal of Glove. He's so cool. And there's some episodes. I mean, Glove's portrayed pretty like competent. Like the villain, other than mechanic, he's like kind of the big oaf, but not in an obnoxious way.
Not the bananas, dumbass. Throw him in there. Yeah, no thanks.
God almighty. I always love that the scarab device that or that the amulet that's on all the villains. They all wear that green scarab on their chest. I mean, Glove's got it here on the action figure. Like, it's just a cool emblem. What they put that on a t-shirt or a tank top?
Well, I'm sure you can find it on your go-to, redbubble.com. Yep.
They only have Bionic 6. Like, I got the Bionic 6 logo on a tank top. But, like, I want a more prominent one, too, in assorted colors and stuff like
just
that.
Just get Joe to make you one.
Now Joe will try to put something cute, funny on there. I know he'll do it just to spite me. But, yeah, I would love for someone to do some more Bionic. I mean, there's a couple of cool images, but I'd like to has some cool images of, like, you know, Scarab and the crew. Or, I know T-Public's got a real prominent Bionic 6 logo I could put on a tank top. So, like, Jack right there, and that's something you see somewhat regularly. It's like he's firing these blasts from his eyes. So he's got kind of and there's Meg with her speed. She's cool. And all of them, like, Bungie. I mean, Bungie's just got the headband on. He just looks really cool. And I'm assuming there's true to it because there's not too many definitive sources. Like, there's a couple of interviews with a gentleman who worked on the show, who's like the writer, like I think the head writer on the show, about coming up with it. But I think the premise was like the Bionic or the $6 million man and the Bionic woman having a family, and that's kind of like I think the amalgam or kind of the germ of how this show. Or what the idea of the, you know, kind of behind it is. Which, if you look at Jack, you can definitely kind of see a slight resemblance to Lee Majors. And Helen definitely looks like the Bionic Woman to a certain degree, too. So, which, I mean, it's an excellent premise in it. I mean, like so many great ideas in the 80s, you know, I think a lot of them do deserve to be revisited. But unfortunately, you got someone decides to come along and, hey, there's a lot of humor to be had in the Bionic 6, and maybe you'll find it, too. Check out my man bun tail.
Look at that. They're a fun-loving family. They like to joke and have a good time.
Yeah. Do, do, do.
Kids are dumb.
God, which I keep harping, man. It doesn't. Everything, it doesn't have to be funny, people.
You know, I might Redbox Aquaman. He's like, I'm just going to pretend you didn't even say that.
You have fun doing that, you know. And well, I'm sure you'll enjoy what little Black Manta's in the film. I like JD's glasses, which they don't translate that well in the action figure. They kind of look more like black frame glasses, but right here they kind of look like almost like goggles almost, which they look pretty cool, pretty stylish. As we're kind of leading up, what this is kind of leading to, Nathan, is an actual source of immortality in the Valley of Shadows.
So there's definitely a lot of Indiana Jones inspired things happening in this episode.
In this episode, yeah, it's not always like that, but this one definitely kind of comes out the gate with a lot of archaeological finds and adventures in the jungle. So yeah, you just kind of feel like, yeah, this would be a lot of.
I'm waiting for like a chase scene over a very like ragged bridge that breaks.
Well, we don't get quite that, but
close.
Yeah, well, it's nah. I'll just kind of let it speak for itself. But no, nothing like that. Not like, you know, like the mine cart sequence in Temple of Doom or anything like that. But kind of maybe a slight nod to the Last Crusade, but this came out before that. So you can almost say Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, they stole the idea from one of the scenes from this episode. I'll just say that. Those hacks. Bunch of phonies. And so right there, the source of immortality has been taken by Scarab. And I'm sure some people will be smart ass and say, well, why is Scarab wearing lipstick? No, it's just I always felt that it's a color break. You know, he's got yellow, sick looking skin. So I think having red lips just kind of adds like some more pop to him.
Well, you kind of get that from a lot of the characters here. Like mm-hmm. when you look at these guys, the color contrast make them sort of just stand out more.
Yeah, like looking at JD's outfit, like it's very. I mean, all of them have very distinct outfits. You know, yeah, Bonnick's on. See, that's just a cool like thing to do. You know, if you're excited, like, getting to go into battles, you know, Bionic's on, dude. Badass.
You should just start doing that in public.
That'd be awesome. I could be a trailblazer, and then it would become popular, and then Disney would get the rights to make a shitty film out of it,
and then we wouldn't like it anymore. Because as much as we hate to say it, I guess we kind of are hipsters in a way.
No, we're not. We just it does not. Oh, I love this right here. It just knocks it out. Which those two will definitely be at each other's odds quite often. Like, he just loves to cut at Scarab, and of course
that seemed to be a running theme with a lot of these shows. You always had your main villain, but you also had the second in command that always fought.
The backstabber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you had your Starscream, your Beast Man. I'm trying to think of another prominent one. Mutants were all, you know, I think they would love to backstab Mom Ra at times. They mock him at times. But I kind of felt like that's a fun staple to have in your assortment of villains, is to have someone who kind of always feels like, well, Evil-Lyn was doing it to Skeletor all the time too. But to have someone who feels like they could do things so much better, and I think there's a fun appeal to that in an action figure line, a comic book series, a cartoon, kind of like the bad boy of the group, so to speak. Like Mechanic is a loyalist to the end, and Madame O is pretty, which we don't. There's three other members we don't see in this episode, but hopefully, this might pique Nathan's interest to want to revisit it, because there's some really good episodes. And we don't see all the villains in this episode. Like, we might actually have to watch, like, Bionic's On or something like that the next time.
Hey, he's very... the way that they shadow his face...
Yeah.
Is very, like, it make... Yeah, like, it's just... I don't know. Something about it.
It just adds a lot of depth and detail to his face. There's a lot of character in his face. I mean, that's why all the villains look so cool. Like, Mechanic looks like a mechanic, but he's a very visually appealing character. Like, he walks like a gorilla almost. Like, Glove, he's got purple skin, you know, but very, you know, like, snarky face. And they all start out as like regular people, and then he just kind of just transforms and then become what they are. Like, it's just kind of a very simple explanation. Not much to it, but is also.
Well, I mean, that's the way it needs to be. It doesn't have to be super elaborate, you know. Just
no, and because I like the fact that Glove has got purple skin, and its outfit just kind of just shows up when he transforms all the villains into who we see them as. Mechanic's already there. Like, he's already kind of he didn't get transformed. But Clunk, Chopper, Madame O, and Glove, they look like kind of regular people, and he has this device that just transforms them, and he just kind of gives them a name, and their outfit's already there, and we're just kind of off and running. Scarab and his army of robots. I love how he's got like that doctor headpiece that, you know, kinda,
yeah,
sort of. It's just kind of a fun little touch. Because he looks like a doctor.
No.
Sitting there, there's gloves there to just pit. Yeah, here's her Holy Grail Last Crusade incident or moment where he's aging. Saint Glove thinks he could do things better. So cool.
These,
I just look,
I like
go ahead.
That there were so many things in all these shows where they just had like this bass hook to them. I always like that.
Yeah,
like amps you up more.
It does. Yeah, I mean it's the. I mean the action sequences are always very good in this show. There's, you know, and they don't shy away from punches. We just saw Meg knock the shit out of Glove, and there's Bungie kicking Mechanic, and I love how Scare talks so fast. Yeah, Mechanic. Yeah, just. That the kind of fast-paced dialect he has, he's funny.
I like how the general thing here, you just hear hello, 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 hello. I know that they do that a lot, especially with live action stuff. When they have people just chattering, they tell them just to say like pretty much nothing, just make noise.
Yeah. Which it it's cheap and it works. So it's another thing too, like the show's like showing, you know, a variety of ethnicities in prominent roles, and it's not dumb because he's black. It's just he's a character on the show. And there's the whole group
Tyler,
right there.
This has never happened until Black Panther came out last year. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's right. And we've never had prominent females until Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman. What the hell was I thinking? And that's a great little ending there with Scarab and his crew. Yeah, and this is kind of a running thing in the show too, where Jack makes like these ridiculous meals, you know, kind of they're like tofu eating people almost, you know, that they're eating food that's so much more healthier and better for you, but it's made out of just slop.
Yeah, I got to go to McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah, and JD's definitely like the Donatello of the group too. He's definitely the smartest of all the kids.
And there we go.
That is the first episode, Valley of Shadows, Bionic 6. And so even though I was talking during a lot of it too, but I hope they didn't. And Alan Oppenheimer does the voice of Jack and Dr. Professor Sharp, so as we know him as Colonel Troutman. Oh yeah, and that bone faced guy that says meow all the time.
Yep, and won't sign your shit because it's too much.
Yeah, I can't write all that. I'm going to ask you to write a book, even though I'm giving you like $60 for three of your autographs.
Oh, you're so pissed about that. It's great. Anyway. We hope you guys enjoyed that. Sorry, I'm gonna just kind of wrap it up because I gotta get ready and go to work.
Yeah,
yeah. Who loves working overtime? Me, I love it. It's great, but it's more money, and I'll just buy all the Bionic 6 figures and be like, "Hey, Ty, look what I got."
Yeah, it's still sitting on the floor. Haven't you put them on the shelf yet? Isn't it great?
I do. Like here, I'll just if we can. All right, so I got a box right there. That's. All the Diamond Select Ghostbusters. I can't really, like, under the desk here, I still got those Turtle 2-packs that I got to crack open. Tyler's like, will you just get on it, please? Now I'm getting the... Got to make sure Beefcake and my It Takes Two VHS are prominently shown.
Yeah. And then it'll become like overdone, like Nathan loves Olsen twins, and they'll start, you know, photoshopping you in like the Olsen twins double toil and trouble with Nathan Kennedy and the Olsen twins, and you know
it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
At some point. We haven't seen Emily in a while or had a Beyond Retro Arcade, so I hope we see both sometime soon. Yeah, I'm in this bad habit now of being like, yeah, are you streaming? Yeah, I'm going to do that tonight. And then I go in there and watch a movie or something, and I get caught up in it, and I'm like, no, I just end up not streaming.
You know, I need to throw out, too, I need you for the next thing we do, whether it's our next commentary or on Fans of Power. I want you to come up with your top 10 list of films. Not in chronological order, like 1 to 10, but just 10 films that you feel like, you know. Because Nathan threw out The Fly to me. I'm like, oh, wow, I love that choice. Like, well, now I need to see the other 9 of what Nathan would choose to be. Like I said, the picking the Fly at number 5 doesn't mean it's the 5th greatest film of all time. It's just 10 films.
I will think about it. I'll put some thought into it.
Yeah.
I don't know how soon I'll have that list to you, because there's just a lot. Because there's some that would be on that list that are go-tos that I watch a lot just because it puts me in a better mood. And then there's some stuff that I look at that would be on the list strictly on the standpoint of I haven't watched it a shitload of times, but
this would be a film that you know, because, you know, my list of films or movies I've watched so many times have had great impact on me. Like, you could watch any time. If Emily decided to say, hey, let's watch this tonight, you've seen it a lot. Like, The Thing. Like, I almost feel like The Thing is probably going to be on your top 10
list. Yes, that's definitely in there.
Yeah. So, you know, not films that, you know, amazing because of, like, just films that, you know, they transcend for you personally,
right?
Not because they are from our artistic feel or special effects, films that mean a lot to you that you can watch anytime, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that. Your quality just like dipped really bad. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know what happened today. Maybe you need to just like restart your modem and stuff.
Probably. Well, I'm not opposed to doing that. So
unplug it and plug it back in. JSP said, check out Michael Mercy's YouTube channel. You'll love his toy reviews, I hope, anyway.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. I'll get into the wrap-up spiel. We hope you guys enjoyed watching this episode of Bionic 6. We hope you enjoyed all the side rants. Thank you guys that popped in the chat and joined us live. If you're new to the channel, make sure you hit subscribe, ring the bell so you get notified when we go live for our podcast, Capes and Commentaries, Beyond Retro, and when I eventually do go live for my Beyond Retro Arcade where I play old video games terribly and I'm usually drunk. Check out all the links down below. You can download us on Podbean and iTunes. I want to encourage you guys to check out Fans of Power, the He-Man and the Master Universe podcast hosted by Tyler Baker, Joe Amato, and myself. You can find that at youtube.com/fansofpowerpodcast. Buy Joe's t-shirts, hit him up for a custom. Tyler, is there anything that you want to add in closing before we get out of here?
No, I think we need to wrap it up so that way Nathan has time to get his stuff done before he has to go burn the midnight oil and make tons of cash that gets dropped in. He sends boxes of toys to his house.
And then they just sit here in the floor.
Yeah, and he just tells me, I own it. I'm not going to do anything with it.
Yeah. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed. And until next time, we will see you in the future to talk about the past. Take care, everybody.